have your Bibles, you'll turn with us this morning to Acts, the 17th chapter. I'd like to read verses 1 through verse 9. Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through verse 9. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took upon them such lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "Those that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they trouble the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go." I'd like to read verse 6 from the Living Bible. These words: "Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers and took them before the council instead. Paul and Silas have turned the rest of the world upside down. Now they are here disturbing our city," they shouted. I would like to take the words, "They are here disturbing our city." Early Wednesday morning, I woke myself up and I had been preaching. And I've done that a great deal lately, and sometimes I have dreamed that I was preaching, then I would wake up and try to remember what I was preaching, and could not always do that. But on Wednesday morning when I woke up, I knew that I had been preaching, and I began to examine my dream, and I found that there were several things that stood out in my mind. First of all, I dreamed that I was preaching to a number of angry people. They were angry at me. And I remember that their anger was directed at me because they said, "You're disturbing us." And they said, "We don't want to be disturbed. We like things the way they are. And we don't know why you've got to be so disturbed." And they were angry at me because I was disturbing them. And I recall that as I stood up to try to defend my ministry to this group of people that I was ministering to, I declared to them that I had sought God's messages for them, and if the messages that I was giving was disturbing them, then they would have to talk to the Lord. And then I reminded them that all through the Bible that God had constantly raised up men to sound forth an alarm and disturb people. Sometimes we need to be disturbed. Well, I got up early Wednesday morning, came to the study, and got my concordance down and began to try to look up the word disturb. Where in the Bible could I find this word disturb? Looking for and searching and reading through several different translations, I was led to these verses of Scripture. First, in Acts 19 and 23, I found these words: "But as time went on, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way of the Lord." This was in the Amplified Bible. Then we found in Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter, verse 5, these words. But they were urgent and emphatic, saying, he stirs up and excites the people. So I thought this is the message that the Lord would like for me to share with this congregation this morning. I want to take these scriptures that I read to you and ask that the Holy Ghost would use them to speak to us today the message that he would like for this congregation to hear. I was aware of the fact that there would be many of our regulars gone today when the Lord directed me to this message, but I also felt like that he wanted me to preach it this morning, and whoever was to hear it would be here, and I leave that in the hands of God. First of all, it said when Paul was preaching to the Ephesians around Ephesus in Asia Minor, the Bible said as time went on, as he continued to preach, as time went on, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way of the Lord. It's the way it's always been. There is the way of the Lord that is in opposition to the world. And there always, when you preach the way of the Lord, it's going to cause a disturbance. The way of the Lord is the way of the cross. The way of the Lord is the way of self-denial, crucifixion, submission, surrender. The way of the Lord is the way of righteousness and holiness. The way of the Lord, my friends, is a narrow way. And when you preach the way of the Lord, there will always be a disturbance. It ought to disturb the world. For the way of the Lord so contradicts the way of the world. And as time went on in the ministry of Paul, as he labored, as he preached, his preaching, the way of the Lord disturbed the region. Then my next verse came from Luke's Gospel, when the Pharisees and the religious people of that day had dragged Jesus before Pilate, and they were accusing him, and they were accusing of many things. And one of the things they said about Jesus Christ was, he stirs up and excites the people. When I read that, I said, oh God, I pray that it can be said of my ministry that I stir up and excite the people. Brother, that's awfully hard to do to some people. It's awfully hard, especially on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. If you don't believe I'm preaching against a lot of just tiredness, weariness, and overfed people, I hope by now you know that I am, and you're praying hard for me. I mean, I heard this choir this morning. I prayed, God help them, God help them, God help them. I thought, Lord, we need your anointing. You feel that? I mean, you've got to know that. But you know, Jesus was accused of stirring up and exciting the people. And we need that kind of ministry today. We need that kind of help. We need a ministry that will stir up and excite the people. Jesus, when he preached, stirred up a lot of opposition and a lot of hatred. And a lot of conflict. But at least he stirred up something. We need that. We need to stir up and excite the people. And they accused him of that. And then, my friends, I finally got down to the text that I want to use to you from Acts, the 17th chapter, verse 6, where it says, they are here disturbing our city. Now that's what I wish Wichita Falls would say about this church. Amen. And Lord, we need something to serve anybody this morning. Y'all pray for me? Amen. Oh, amen. I mean, it said they're here disturbing our city. How many of you believe God's people are to disturb something? They're here disturbing our city. in Jerusalem. Thank God. They disturbed that city. Those people prayed through. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And there was a disturbance in that upper room that disturbed the city of Jerusalem. And people came from all over Jerusalem to see what the disturbance was all about. They came. I want you to know everywhere the early church went after it left the upper room, everywhere they went, they caused a disturbance. It said these that caused an uproar, these that turned the world upside down, they're here too. I want you to know, my friends, God's people and God's church in this world is to be a disturber. We're not disturbing. We're not doing what the Lord wants us to do. You remember when Jesus cast out the demons of a man called Legion? As he sat there in his right mind, the people of the city of Gadara came to see him. And when they got there and saw this man that had been, the devils had been cast out, sitting cold in his right mind, you'd have thought they'd said, "Come on, Jesus, come to our city. We need your kind of preaching. We need your kind of ministry in our city." But the Bible said the town folk came and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Don't disturb us. We don't want you to disturb. And I want to tell you, as long as the church sits on the corner, sings its songs, and has its praise meeting, and never disturbs the city, they'll just let us alone. Amen. They said, "It's all right, you just let us alone, stay there." But God help us to see that it said they are here disturbing our city. How long has it been since any city could say about a bunch of believers, our churches, they're disturbing our city? They're disturbing our city. They're disturbing our city. I can remember when I used to talk about the shouting Methodists. They didn't like shouting Methodists. They disturbed their city. I can remember when Nazarenes were called Nazarenes. They didn't like them. They disturbed them. I remember people talking about loud Pentecostal people. They didn't like it. They didn't want to be in their community. They didn't want to live in our house. They didn't want a Pentecostal church in their neighborhood. It disturbed them. It disturbed them. And they didn't want anything to do with it. And now, friends, we moved on the other side of the track. And they're glad to have us because we don't disturb anybody. Don't shout me down yet, baby. How could they disturb? What was it about these people that disturbed their city? What were they doing? I read my Bible. I began to look at that in this context. They are here disturbing our city. And I asked myself the question, what were they doing to disturb the city? What were they doing? They weren't walking up and down the streets with billboards, placards, all that mess. How were they disturbing? What were they doing? I said, "Lord, I want my church to disturb Wichita Falls. I really do. I wish somebody would say that church on the corner of Maplewood and Elliott is disturbing our city. I wouldn't go as high. I'd say, glory to God." I said, "How are they disturbing the city?" First of all, my friends, here's what disturbed their city. These are the things that I wrote down. First of all, they were disturbing the city just with their presence. Just their presence disturbed the city. Oh, hallelujah. They just could not feel comfortable with that bunch in town. Just their being there made them feel uneasy. They were the salt. They were the light of the world. And just their being there disturbed them. I agree, friends. We are only so full of God that even our presence would disturb folks. We don't always have to be seeing or talking. How many of you be so full of God wicked world that he was living in. The presence of Noah building that ark disturbed that group of people. My friends, the presence of Elijah disturbed a king and a kingdom. The presence of John the Baptist disturbed Herod and a king's course. The presence of Peter and James and John disturbed the folks. I want you to know God wants us by our very presence to cause a disturbance in the city in which we live. They ran them out of their cities. They threw them out and they threw them into jail. We don't want you here. They said, Jesus, we don't want you in our town. You just let us alone. You go your way. They said to Paul, Peter, and John, and the early disciples, we don't want you. Your presence disturbs us. Oh, my God. We've gone so into the church world today that we don't want to look any different. We don't want to be any different because we don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable in our presence. We've gone overboard in our dress to look like the world, where people won't look at us and feel uncomfortable in our presence. I would to God we'd have a revival again where our women would look like women and our men would look like men. Amen. And look like children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I can't pick them out anymore. In fact, it's gone another way. They're looking real worldly. I said, they're going to pick them. They get looking like Tammy Faye. I said, well, there's another one. I said, amen. I love them. I'll tell you. Dear God. Amen. Amen. You love me? Say, praise the Lord. Everybody dead anyhow. I might as well lay it on good. But their presence made a difference. Our presence made a difference. Then I said they disturbed the city just because of their presence. Then I believe they disturbed the city, and I wrote down they not only disturbed the city because of their presence, but they disturbed the city with their prayers. Hallelujah. I believe, praise God, these Tuesday night intercessory prayer meetings are going to disturb our city. Amen. I know they're already disturbing the citadels of hell. Amen. And I want you to know when the early church came to a city, they had prayer meetings. And their prayer meetings disturbed the city. Oh, I would God the church again would have old-fashioned prayer meetings when people would get before the altars of God and groan and tarry until they prayed through, until men and women who were at home would get under mighty conviction of sin and be disturbed in the night because the church prayed, that men and women would come in our church and be disturbed because the church prayed. I want you to know we can disturb our city through prayer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They disturbed that place. I believe the place literally shook. And when they had prayed, they disturbed the place. Whether it's Africa, whether it's China, whether it's Russia, whether it's New York City, Miami, Florida, or Wichita Falls, I believe, dear friends, that by the power of God, when God's people are in our city, they can not only disturb a city with their presence, but they can disturb a city with their prayers. Hallelujah. Amen. Then how else did they disturb their city? They disturbed their city by their presence. They disturbed the city by their praying, and with their praying. disturbed the city with their preaching. With their preaching. I believe, thank God, we need a little preaching that'll disturb somebody. When John the Baptist preached, he disturbed them. Man, he stirred them up. He had his head cut off because he just wouldn't preach a compromised gospel. He lost his head. He disturbed with his preaching. Jesus disturbed with his preaching. He preached and demanded repentance. Peter and John disturbed with their preaching. They said, if you don't quit preaching in the name of Jesus, we're going to throw you in prison. They said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And when they loosed them, they went straight back and began to preach Jesus Christ again. When Paul preached, he disturbed city after city. They threw him in jail. They beat him. They stoned him because Paul disturbed them with his preaching. Martin Luther disturbed an empire with his preaching. John Wesley disturbed nation after nation with his preaching. Charles Finney, he disturbed people with his preaching. John Knox disturbed people with his preaching. Moody disturbed people with his preaching. Spurgeon disturbed people with his preaching. Thank God David Wilkerson is disturbing people with his preaching. Thank God Jimmy Swaggart is disturbing people with his preaching. Hallelujah to God. We need preachers that'll stand in our pulpits and preach the word of God until somebody gets disturbed. Amen. Until the world hates us. Hallelujah. Until God loves us and anoints us. We need a preaching that will disturb our people. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Glory. Somebody has said, we leave our comfortable homes, get in our comfortable automobiles, drive to our comfortable churches, sit in our comfortable pews, and want somebody to preach us a comfortable sermon. We want to come to church living like the devil, and we want to go out living like the devil. We want to come to church living in sin, and we don't want the preacher to say a thing about it. We want to do what we want to do, and we don't want the preacher to say anything about it. Brother, I love you too much. I care too much about your soul, and I love God too much to sit up here and just pat you on the back all the time and preach you a comfortable sermon. We need men and women in the pulpit today who will preach on the anointing and disturb folks. Hallelujah. We need sinner disturbed. We need the lukewarm and the indifferent disturbed. We need the comfortable Christian disturbed. They disturbed with their presence. They disturbed with their prayers. They disturbed with their preaching. Another way they disturbed their cities was in their praising. They knew how to praise God. They really got the best I can read and understand. When they praised God, they did it vocally and loud. They believed that they ought to praise God for his blessings and his power. And it disturbed the city to hear those saints praising God and lifting up their voices in praise and adoration to Almighty God. Why are we so afraid to come to church and praise the Lord? Why are we so afraid to praise the Lord in our homes and our cities? Passing by the other day, for some reason or another, I came across what looked like a rock concert. You ever hear how loud the people get? They're loud, aren't they? And I've heard some people that go to those rock concerts and say, I can't go to church over there. They're too loud. Hypocrites. Amen. You ever go to a ball game or see a ball game with all them people screaming and hollering? And so noisy. About the crowd's in it, the crowd's not in it.
The announcers get concerned when everything's too quiet. They really like for something to happen where everybody starts hooping it up, you know. Really get with it. They get so noisy. But I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to quit going to the ball games. They're too noisy. They express themselves. So, oh, did you see lawyer so-and-so stand up over there and holler like he did? Well, did you see my doctor over there just jumping up there clapping and hollering? What, you know, they just think that's fine. But now, brother, if their doctor or lawyer does it in the church, they'll change doctors and lawyers. They're fanatics. They're crazy. They've gone to extremes. I'm telling you, friends, the city ought to be disturbed because we are praising God. The happiest people ought to be God's people. They disturb people with their presence, with their praying, with their preaching, with their praising, and then they disturb the city with their power. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. When they walked into a city, they came into that city full of the Holy Ghost. They have within them the great power of God. When they walked into a city, they healed the sick. Glory to God. They not only healed the sick, they cast out devils. Amen. Not only did they cast out devils, dear friends, they raised the dead. Praise God. When they walked into a city, they had the power of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And because of the power of the Holy Ghost, it disturbs that city. What we need today, friends, is men and women who will get out on their knees to get full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Holy Ghost power. And then we'll be able to disturb our city because of the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. There's so little power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to disturb. They said they are here. What are they here doing? They are here disturbing our city. They are here disturbing our city. And they are disturbing their city for Jesus Christ. Friends, how would you like to be part of a disturbance? How would you like to be a part of a disturbance that would disturb our city? How would you like to see Wichita Falls stirred up? They tell me when they stirred up Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, there were over 3 million people there, and 120 disturbed the whole city. Glory. We got more than 120 here, hadn't we? We got more than 100. There's enough here to disturb this city. Oh, Brother Jack, if we can just get more. If we can get a big old number, if we can just get to, friends, God just take what we got. There's enough here. There's enough here. There's enough here. Now, I don't know what all the other churches in the city want to do, but I want this church to disturb our city. I want us to disturb the devil. I want the devil to be mad at us. Amen. I want him to know we're over here on the corner and we're causing an uproar. Because we're believing God. We disturb with our presence, with our prayers, with our preaching, with our praise, and with the power that we have. We can. Now we're coming to Christmas season. And Christmas season always disturbs people. It disturbs the atheists. Because we have our little manger scenes in our Christmas plays. It stirs them up every year. It disturbs up the doubters and the unbelievers. There's always a controversy around Christmas. But it always has been. We don't know when Jesus was really born. But the fact that he was born caused a disturbance. When he was born, Herod said, "Who's born?" They said, "Jesus." And it troubled Herod. He was disturbed at the birth of Jesus. And ever since Jesus Christ was born, there's been a disturbance in the world over him. He has caused a division among people. He has always caused a disturbance. And if we're going to be Christians, and if we're going to represent Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be like we ought to be, we're always going to be disturbing something or someone. And we ought not be ashamed, but we ought to pray, God, help us. Help us. They are here, but so what? Their presence makes no difference. Let them alone. They're not giving us any trouble. Let them alone. Aren't you glad that there's an organization in our city called Sober, who's doing everything they can to counteract the liquor by the drink? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we're causing a disturbance? We're just not going to sit by and let us, but we'll disturb it if we can. Keep it from happening if we can. Can you say thank God for that? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. I want the Spirit of God to speak to us for a few moments. I've quit early this morning. You don't have to rush out. But my heart was just overwhelmed when I woke up. And I'd been preaching, and people were mad at me because I was preaching and it was disturbing them. They said, don't disturb us. Let us alone. You're overly concerned. And I don't know why I preached that. But I it couldn't leave. It didn't leave me. I couldn't wait to get to the office to find out where and how could I build upon that message. And the Holy Spirit just really spoke to my heart and said, Jack, I'm going to give you messages that are going to disturb people. And I want you to be willing to pay the price. Some people are going to get angry at you. And a lot of people are just going to sit there. And they're going to listen, but it's not, they're just going to just listen, and that's not it. But I will use you. And some will get disturbed about their condition. And they'll start praying, and they'll start seeking God, and they'll get closer to the Lord. And because you'll be faithful, I will disturb some. Some will be disturbed to stir themselves up to seek my face, to seek my cause and my will and my life. And I'm going to use them. And I'm going to use them to help, to bring about a disturbance in some areas. It's time that the church woke up. It's time that people stirred themselves up to seek my face and seek me and be what I want to. It's time for the church to disturb the world. For these are the last days. Things are going to get worse. But I'm going to disturb some people. And I've called out and chosen me some to use to bring about a message that would awaken and arouse. Lord, I said, let me be like Jesus. Let me stir up and excite the people. Oh, God, so anoint me that I could stir up and excite the people about you, about the things of God, about the way of God. Oh, Lord, grant it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the Holy Spirit searches our hearts. Father, I have delivered the message that thou hast laid on my heart for this congregation. Lord, we have pressed, we have fought, we have been faithful. We recognize, dear God, that there is an air of indifference and lethargy. But, oh God, we thank thee for thy faithfulness to honor the preaching of thy word. And we believe, dear God, the message has been received into the hearts of some people today. And dear God, the fact that they're going to receive it, it's going to bring forth good fruit. Hallelujah to God. Good fruit. Lord, let our church disturb our city. Let us, dear God, be ranked among those that it would be said, they are here disturbing our city.
God to bring about a disturbance that would bring people to a reality of God, to face to a decision for Christ. Lord, if there are sinners here, we want them to be disturbed. If there are people that are backslidden, we want them to be disturbed. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I feel like we need to pray to conclude this service. I feel like we need to come and kneel in our altars and pray to God this morning. I feel like it would be fitting to close out this Sunday morning service with a prayer around the altar, with us all seeking God, that we should so be so full of God as the early disciples were, that we could be part of those that would disturb our city for Jesus. Oh, because of the way of the Lord. As we sing this course, all that would like to come kneel and pray or kneel in your pews, let's just conclude this morning service with a prayer to God this morning, that we would yield ourselves more to Him. Amen, as we sing.
Your eyes,
just feel free to make an altar prayer anywhere you want to. You must go quietly. Go with God.